We dare them all.
We dare them all. Tonight, Philip Morris issues a dramatic challenge to any other cigarette. A challenge you will hear later in the show as Philip Morris presents The Candid Microphone with Alan Francis, Candid Mike, Don Hollenbeck, your narrator, music by Bernard Green, and yours truly, Ken Roberts. Remember, there's no cigarette hangover when you smoke Philip Morris. So, Candid Mike, out of the studio and into the world, to eavesdrop on the secretly recorded conversations of all kinds of people as they react in real life to all kinds of situations. You'll be there with Candid Mike when Dracula himself tries to buy a lady's skull. When a professional wrestler spills the beans about losing a match. When a candy sales girl gets involved in a sticky problem. You'll eavesdrop on the human side of humanity, unposed, unrehearsed, and strictly uninhibited, because no one ever knows when he's talking into the Candid Microphone.
In the deep, dark cellar of a large fur storage company, a strange drama was being played some time ago. Let's set the scene exactly as it happened. We're hiding just beyond the locked door of a huge refrigerated vault, and man, it's cold inside there. A locksmith is kneeling at the bolted door of the vault, tinkering with the big lock. This is an emergency. Or so he was told when Candid Mike telephoned to say a man was locked in the refrigerator, freezing. But the coolest person on the scene seems to be the locksmith, as he calmly says,
"Listen, we get conditions of that kind all the time. Well, you think this is something unusual or something? The man is locked in. We get them with desks. We get them with safes."
"Is this how fast you work on it?"
"That's right. I'm working on it. What do you think I do? Just stick it in there and it's done."
"So where's the fellow that's got the key?"
"Some smart guy locked the thing and takes it away with him all the time."
"So how did he get in there?"
"He was in there when he locked it."
"A nice place to be."
"Listen, how much is it going to cost?"
"We'll run 3.5. That's the minimum charge."
"The minimum charge? That's just one lock, isn't it?"
"Look, you... The guy is cold in there, huh?"
"I know that it's not my fault."
"So you're going to argue with me over a buck? Let him freeze if you feel that way about it.
Are you all right, Tom?"
"No, come on, it's cold
in
here. Get me out.
All right, I'll get you out."
Come on, get me out.
"Wait a second, the guy is here now. I'm getting an estimate from him."
"Don't get no estimate."
"Well, wait a second, I'll get you out now. Don't..." "Yeah, quiet. You're making too much noise."
Come on.
"Hey, look, what do you want me to do?"
"To open it, but $2.
No. It's 3.5. We just have one price." "Here, the guy is freezing, you say. He's in there, right?"
"Well,
so what the devil is the difference if it's another dollar? You want to let him get pneumonia? Go ahead."
"What a heartless guy."
"Oh, heartless guy. If the guy is going to be in there and he gets pneumonia, it's going to cost him more than $3.5.
"What do you have to do to open a lock?"
"I have to pick it open."
"You hit it once with a hammer?"
No hammers.
What's the matter? "All right, the guy wants too much money, see?"
"Come on, I don't care.
Well, I'll get you out, but this guy is too expensive." "I'll get another fella. It only took him about a half hour to get here. I'll get another man."
"Don't get another man. Come on, get me out."
"All right, now take it easy. I told you I'd get you out."
"If you want it done, I'm here to do it. If you don't want to pay me, then what's..."
"Well, it's $3.50, the bottom
that's
price."
"That's the price. We don't.
In an emergency like
that..." "In an emergency, you should pay more."
"And you leave a guy freezing in there?"
"Well, you're the one, not me. And the guy could have been out in a... If you want me to do this..."
"Well, get it
off. You pay me $3.5.
How are you, Tom?"
"He's cold.
And you let a guy freeze
out. Yeah, you're the one that's making him freeze, not me.
How am I making him freeze? I told
well,
you.
Why are you arguing with me about
well,
price?
Well, open it, but for $2. Oh, get him out of there.
Three and a half. I want to tell you something.
What?
Do you want it or don't you?
Now, look, if you ever get yourself locked in a refrigerator, just be sure you have a cool $3.50 on hand. On a bright and sunny afternoon last week, a window shopping lady walked into a curio shop to browse, maybe to buy. She didn't know what she was really walking into. In the gloom and semi-darkness of the shop, she could see a pile of shrunken heads, oddly fashioned skulls, ghoulish knickknacks made of human bones. If Dracula himself were to step out of the shadows, it wouldn't surprise her a bit. Or would it? We'll find out, because Bela Lugosi, the Dracula of the movies, was posing as the manager. The king of the zombies, with a polite, "Can I help you, madam?" is already talking to the lady.
You see, that's an original skull with the original hair on it. Do you like it?
It's certainly unusual, but I don't
please
know.
These are pieces of my collection.
Uh-huh.
When I travel in Africa and in Asia, yeah, I always collect odd things, and I specialize in skulls and human bones, especially if I find one where I knew the person alive. Did you see something like that?
Oh, for goodness sake.
This was originally an arm bone of a young girl of 9 in Africa. And when she was sacrificed by their gods, then her lover saved that little bone and made a pipe out of it. Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
I am collecting all these skulls and make different things out of it, because that's my hobby. But my supply ran out now.
It is a peculiarly sadistic hobby, if I may say so.
Isn't it? That's the fascination of it.
Is that really a shrunken head, or is it...
No, but it is a original-sized head of a certain tribe of savages.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the Pygmies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was saved for posterity.
Good Lord. And that's the original hair, too?
Yes. The original hair. You can
trust
them.
Uh-huh. Oh, I can see them.
They're not as silky as yours.
Yeah.
You have a wonderful skull. You know, in a civilized country like America, I cannot get enough skulls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as the law is concerned, I need in writing the donation of the party who would like to leave me that skull.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it?
No.
But if I could manufacture something practical out of it, I could make different things out of that.
I imagine you could.
You see what I could do? I could make of your skull
a
tobacco jar like that. So anytime I stop my pipe, I would have to think of you.
Oh, dear.
Now, before you go, I have a surprise for you. Now, that little chat we just had now was recorded.
Oh, really?
And may I introduce myself? My name is Bela Lugosi.
Really?
The king of the zombies.
I don't believe it, because...
You don't?
No.
Now I take a bite of your neck. Now, here.
People must squeeze every piece of candy in a box when they're looking for the particular one they want, but They'll do it every time. Well, how else can you tell which is a hard center and which a creamy one? That's exactly what Candid Mike is trying to find out in a busy candy shop as he asks the clerk a question that gets right to the center of that old problem.
Is it soft or hard?
Soft.
How do you know? Ooh, look at that.
It's soft. Now you know.
Okay.
You can usually tell by the shape.
Now, this was square. That's usually hard.
No, not with us.
This is pretty busy.
Mm-hmm. But you can tell what's a nut and what isn't. You're supposed to know by the outside what's in what, but they're not.
Now, that's the trouble. See, that's right where my problem is. Every time we have a box of candy, there's one member of my family that squeezes the candy to see which are hard. And then she puts them back in the box.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do?
Well, it'll be simpler to get one time, another time.
Well, we like to mix them up for the guests and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that in this assortment we can lick that?
Well, there isn't much that can be done if you,
you
know, if you buy a general assortment.
Well, one assortment, and then she just does what she does every time.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a candy like this, she squeezes it and eats it. What is it?
Quite a problem.
Could you make up a box of assorted candy and squeeze all the soft center ones for me?
Squeeze all the soft center ones?
That's right.
A box of assorted ones?
A box of assorted candy.
And squeeze them.
And squeeze all the soft ones and put them back in the box and then there'll be no problem about it.
I think it's very presentable.
Well, that's the way they look in the box anyhow. You might as well save yourself the trouble of squeezing them.
How about just slicing them?
Could you slice?
If you took a thing like this and you sliced it, and it was gooey.
Yeah.
But if you put it like that.
Well, the only point is that I thought it'd be a good thing to show her how these things look when she puts them back in the box, squeezed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do them. You squeeze every soft one and put it right back in the box.
I'm sure you wouldn't like to slice.
No, the slicing doesn't prove the point.
Why? It's just that it's an unusual request.
Well, I know it is.
Mm-hmm.
You squeeze every single one of the soft ones. If they're runny,
yeah.
Just let them run out.
Uh-huh.
What's the softest candy that there are in there? Cream?
I would have a raspberry cream.
Now, that would be
a... have a liquid butterscotch that is positively gooey.
That would be good to squeeze.
Well, that would be a beautiful sight.
Can you do that? Would you have to check with any manager or anything like that?
Oh, I mean, as long as you want to pay for it, it doesn't make any difference to me whether you want them jumped up and down or anything else.
But I want everyone squeezed and put...
And if they come down upstairs and think I've lost my mind, I'll tell them I'm quite sane. I'm just wondering if squeezing something.
And squeeze them so you can see the inside.
If you want some scolding, you can ask for scolding.
Anyone who could use a box of fine candy, freshly squozen, please write to Candid Mike, but enclose a self-addressed bucket. Something like this ever happened to you, you're trying to find a certain street, so you stop and ask someone. He starts to tell you how to get there. Pretty soon another man comes over and he tells you how to get there. Before they're through, you begin to wish that they'd both get lost. But this man, looking for a Barnett Avenue, had the good fortune to run into Candid Mike and his assistant. He's confused already, as he says.
Look, all I want is 48th Street and Barnett Avenue.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on Barnett.
Well, you go down Northern Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And then turn left and go into Barnett Avenue.
Uh-huh.
And circle around until you come to 49th Street. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then when you circle around, you come back 47th Street and back to Northern Boulevard, and that's Barnett Avenue.
Come again?
You want some information about it, or you just want to...
I just want to know what direction it's
you want to go wrong?
I know, Queen.
You want to get to Barnett Avenue? I'll tell you what to do. Just light up this Philip Morris cigarette, will you? Now, do the same thing with your own cigarette. Light that up, too.
All right.
Take a puff. Don't inhale it. And let it come slowly through your nose. That's it. That's the Philip Morris.
All right.
Now, do the same thing with your own cigarette. Take a puff. Don't inhale it. Slowly, there it goes through your mouth. Any difference?
One was milder than the other.
Which one was milder?
Philip Morris.
Was it milder than your own cigarette?
Yes.
The Philip Morris.
Oh.
Now, where do you want to go?
Barnett Avenue.
I don't know how to get there.
You
see, this is the microphone. You're on the radio now, the candid microphone.
Not a kid.
It's a...
Now, tell me one other thing. Was that really true, what you said about the cigarette?
Of course it was.
Now you know why.
We dare them all.
Yes, now you know why the test you heard was a test no other cigarette would dare to suggest. For that completely candid test proves, not in 30 days or 30 hours or 30 minutes, but in just a few seconds, that Philip Morris is definitely less irritating, definitely milder, therefore more enjoyable than the cigarette you are now smoking. Remember, there's no cigarette hangover when you smoke Philip Morris. That's why, with all confidence, Philip Morris can say,
we dare them all.
Yes, Philip Morris challenges any other cigarette to suggest this test, which gives you the opportunity to prove to yourself that Philip Morris is indeed America's finest cigarette. If you should happen to pass a lady with bees in her bonnet, don't be alarmed, men. More than likely, it's just a new hat style. But husbands simply refuse to understand that a really adorable creation doesn't have to make sense. As a matter of fact, neither does the man who sells the hat to madam. And just to prove that, Candid Mike arranged for his double-talking assistant to pose as a clerk in a ritzy millinery shop. As he waits on his next customer, he's going to put a lot of gibberish into the sales talk. Let's find out if a lady thrilled by the prospect of a new hat even bothers to listen. She's trying on that snappy new number now as he asks.
Do you like bows in the front of the hat?
Yeah, but I don't like them high. I like them this way.
Do you check them with hats before you wear them?
Well, I wanted a hat that would be comfortable and that wouldn't worry if it got rained on. That was my principal idea. Flowers I like, but they're kind of perishable in this weather.
You can't trigger with the rain. I mean, if it's raining and you come in a lister and say with a straw of the floor and you saw it fell, it happens, I mean, before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sag with flowers and a hard material effect in the veil, then you can see the difference
immediately. Oh, silly. I don't look good in this Breton type thing.
What do you call this, a Breton type?
Yeah,
I never called it a Breton.
What would you call it?
Well, that's a trick.
But that isn't really a regulation Breton, though.
This isn't.
No.
But it's a regulation trigger.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The reason it's a regulation trigger is if it wasn't regulation, you would have a pistol with a bow on the flowers coming to foot and without the string.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the world a difference.
Okay.
Now, you see the little piece of the lantern on the bottom of the hat?
Mm-hmm.
That makes it a junior trigger.
That's the reason I like to have the sit on. You don't have to have one of those.
You don't have to have a junior trigger.
No, I don't like those at all.
No, I'm not overly fond of them.
But they're good for comfort anyway.
What, the trigger?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
I thought when you were over 35, you were always supposed to wear a brim hat anyway. Isn't that what your creatures claim you should do?
Well, that's the reason why we're coming out with a trigger hat.
Mm-hmm.
See, the flowers and the bow take the place of the fist knot face.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put the veil, come with a frost, and without the turnip, well, that takes the place, and then it makes your feature stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how you feel about that.
I call it a plain, all-to-face hat with a bow. Now, what would you call it?
I would call it a present with a bow and a flower with a light.
Lovely. Is this going to be the trade name of this man that's presenting on it?
No, that won't be a trade name. It'll be sort of a lister name kind of attraction on a different hat to take. Don't you think it's wiser that way?
Yes, I think it would be.
Do you see this bow on the top?
Yeah.
Now, you have trapnets, you have lister with the flowers, and the trag with the design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you call this?
A bow. A marine bow.
Yes, but I saw a leg with a bow come the trag. You see the difference? Now,
You have all the technical terms and I don't.
Well, right, but don't you think if you knew the technical terms and you could walk up to Mrs. Jones on the street when you meet her and say, you have a lister with a hat of a trade, she'd say, well, how did you know? I only read about that myself a half hour.
That's just how it's able to be. You're getting high hats.
Now I'm going to show you something. You hold the end of it, mm-hmm. and then you twist it to the left and say, and come to the track with a small pleat.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a little roll mm-hmm. in the material.
Mm-hmm.
Now you push, and then twist, then come in the track with a face, and come to the fourth and say, and another push, and then up on top of the head on the other side. Now, how does that look?
Looks like the things I used to wear when I was a girl.
It does.
Flowers here and twisted ribbon on the top. This is your formal dance.
Oh, well, I had a formal dance in those days. Did you ever, with either, when you had the tag in your first evening dress and the hat come on the list and say, did you ever?
Oh, yes.
Miss Adams.
Yes.
If you'll excuse me, it was very nice meeting you. I'm going to have to run along.
All right. Well, I'll try to remember that.
Bye-bye.
Shall I put in the bus, please?
Yes, please, because I'm dancing all now.
Yes.
It'd be very interesting. If I had more time, I'd have gone into that secret.
Madam, please, don't you think we're in deep enough already? If you've ever watched a professional wrestling match, you know there must be an easier way of making both ends meet than by having some big bruiser bend you in half. It takes skill and stamina to win a bout, but losing one is an art that's harder to develop than muscle. Now, no one is saying that any wrestler ever lost on purpose, heaven forbid. But if you ever feel like throwing your weight around and coming out on top, listen in on Candid Mike's conversation with a wrestler and learn how it might be arranged. We're right in the middle of a big deal now.
Maybe I might give you a little hammerlock, or maybe I might give you a half Nelson or something. You know what I mean?
Well, you gotta, make it look legitimate.
It'll look good. It'll look all right. And eventually you'll nail me in that door.
Well, you're liable to lose your temper in the middle of the fight.
Foolish. I don't lose my temper. It's a business deal, isn't it? So we'll work about how long? About 8 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you bang the floor? Or
we'll bang the floor. We'll do everything. But it's got to look real, that's all.
You don't holler in
there. No, I don't holler. What do you mean, holler? What about
will you grunt or something like that?
I'll grunt. I'll put on the act.
And you let me lick you?
Sure you can lick me. What do I say?
What about your reputation?
I should worry.
So who's some of the guys you wrestle so I'll be able to tell them, you know?
I don't know. I wrestled so many of them boys. Spike Howard of Philadelphia, the guy that blood donor. He was so much easier. He gave 1,000 transfusions, you know.
He did?
Yeah. He died.
Did you beat him?
I beat him, and then he beat me. What's the difference? I win, he wins. He's
what do you have to toss for it, or what?
No, we just, if he's favored in that spot, so he wins. I'm favored in a certain spot, I win. And if we want to return bout, then I throw him there.
Hmm. Who else did he win?
In Frisco there, I wrestled in the Unicef Auditorium in Long Beach there.
Yeah. How'd you do?
In the bag. All in the bag.
When you say in the bag, you mean it?
In other words, it is not a shooting match. A shooting match is on the level. See?
Are there any of those?
There is, but they're no good. There's no action.
No
action.
In
fact, there's no
FBI
agent here.
No.
I'm just giving you the lowdown on this.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
In a phony match, which is 99% of them are.
No, okay.
Yeah, there's more action. People want action.
But in a real match?
Real match, there's no action. You clamp a hold on a man and you hold him there. Until he quits.
And you think that 99% of them are sick, though?
Yeah, but don't,
don't say anything about
me quoting that stuff. I don't want to get myself messed up with the boys at the same time.
Oh, boy. If I could lick you, then I'd really, I'd look...
Well, you lick me, so what? I should work.
I'd look like a big guy around.
Yeah.
What good things can I do to you? Like, I'd like to grab you around the head and then hammerlock and drive you against that post.
All right, you can grab me around the neck and run me around.
Can I drive you against the post?
Yeah,
with your head?
Yeah, and I'll kind of ward myself off. Uh-huh. Naturally, I'm not going to stand there and have you hit my head with a post, see? I'm going to try and protect myself.
Yeah.
Naturally, you've got to hold your punches there.
Well, supposing I slip a little bit, then you'll get mad at me.
No,
you'll tear me apart.
No, I wouldn't get mad at you. Don't let the stunt I pulled scare you, see?
See, now you're a good-natured guy, but supposing I ram your head against the post there, All your good nature.
You don't have to do them things. I could do the same thing to you, couldn't I?
That's what I was afraid of, see?
Don't just come up and smack me, you know, hard, you know, and kick me and all that stuff.
Don't do it.
Because that's all hokum, what you've seen in the ring.
It is?
That's all.
Sure, look.
Because if it was on the level of killing another.
I might just ram your head against that boulder. I always wanted to do that to somebody.
You must have the wrestling match. Is it essential to have it?
Yeah.
Or you want to make it so
clear? You wouldn't mind if I just kicked you once hard on the chest like they do in the wrestling matches. You see, when I got you down, I have a finger hole on you or something like that. Then I just kick you.
No, I'll tell you. Somebody's out to get hurt.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you just told me...
When you work with a novice, no, and when you work with a guy you don't understand, you hurt him or hurt you, see. I don't care. I don't want to win. It's no glory to me.
That's it.
Win, I'm
you don't care.
Don't win us.
Let me win, because I've never won before. Most guys, little guys come up there, they beat me.
I'll tell you, I'd sooner just do the stunts to be candid with
you. No, to be candid with me.
Yeah.
Don't be candid with me. Just tell me
I'd
what you want.
I'd sooner do the stunts. I'd pull the car loaded, I'd pull against a dozen men, and I'd bend these heavy spikes with the jaws. And you went the country over, you couldn't duplicate.
No, you gotta have that wrestling match. How do you break those spikes?
With my mouth, I...
Are your teeth that strong?
Yeah, they're very strong.
Oh, my God. You just take them out that way? So you mean you're actually bending those nails with your gum, huh?
Yeah, sure. Do it with the teeth and that stops the teeth. I take them out and I bend them with it. I gum them, you see? Gum them double. I pull the car with the gum. I pull anything and leave it up to 10 tons with the gum.
How much? How much do you get for the whole evening?
$50 too much?
Not too much. Plus tax?
Huh? What tax? Forget about the tax.
Okay.
I'm giving you an exhibition that will surpass anything in the line of strength.
Next week, the Candid Microphone goes back into hiding. It's better to catch you in our act. And now, here is America's most famous eavesdropper, the man with the hidden mic, Alan Funt.
Thank you, Don. Folks, there's no use writing to us to volunteer to be on this program. There are no volunteers, but I'll tell you how to get on. You go your way, and we'll go your way, too. And sometime... somewhere, someplace, when you least expect it, we're going to make you a star of the Candid Microphone. Until then, I'll be looking for you.
We dare them all.
We dare them all. Remember, there's no cigarette hangover when you smoke Philip Morris.